This is the Night Owls Disc Golf Podcast. I'm Shane.
And I'm JP.
And I'm back. You're not lonely.
No.
Anymore. I liked the episode, though. I thought it was good. I know it was a surprise for you to do that.
Yeah.
Because we both kind of abandoned you. But it turned out well, I thought. I don't know. Did you listen to it, being it was only your voice?
No. I listened to about maybe 5-10 minutes of it.
And then you felt a little weird.
Yeah, maybe a little. Because there are, I listen to a number of podcasts where it's like one host and then they talk for a while, but then they have a guest that they'll bring on.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of breaks up the monotony of just hearing the one person's voice.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty lonely here. I don't know how many people just want to sit and hear my voice. Apparently, like, over 100 people. Or there's over 100 plays, so that's...
Well, that's good.
Decent.
Yeah, that's good.
And hopefully, what I had to say, people enjoyed. I haven't heard any response or anything like that.
Right.
But... Well, I felt like I needed to put something out.
Yeah, I thought it was refreshing and honest. That's what I thought it was. You know, I thought, like, I don't think it was bad by any means. I thought it was just refreshing and honest and different. It was different from our normal setup, you know. Yeah. And it is, you know, it's funny because we talk about when we first started, just you and I, you know, like we're doing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we brought Ben on, and then, you know, the dynamic changed a little bit. And then with just you, I mean, that's a completely different dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like all these different things. And then we used to have the Monday episodes where we'd just be talking about random nonsense. Those might come back, may not. You know, we may do one or two of them here and there. But
these come out on Monday.
Oh, they do.
So maybe a different day.
Yeah, our random Wednesday episode. I don't know, yeah, whatever they would
whatever.
Be. But yeah, so you... You know, and I think the format of the show hasn't really changed that much. You know, I mean, there's been little additions and subtractions and things like that. But for the most part, it's stayed pretty stable. So I bet you it was probably a little bit of a surprise for people that listen.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, I had like thrower, hanger, flipper. I couldn't think of any shop updates.
Yeah.
I didn't have no random question, like no why do you suck? Because I think why do you suck was part of kind of like what I had talked about in like the monologue kind of thing.
Yep.
So it was interesting.
Well, and I think, you know, we're coming into our off season, and our off season is actually an off season. Like, it's hard to throw.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, like throw a hanger and flipper. It'll still be there when it's applicable. Like today, neither of us have bought anything in a while. Actually, no. I lie. I did buy something, so there will be.
Oh.
So, you know, on my travels, I always try to stop by the local disc golf shop.
Yeah.
And then I always just support them. So this one was a little harder because it kind of had everything that was in their shop. And I was just like, what do I just buy to buy? And they had the Burt Kreischer stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, should I buy that? I was like, no. It doesn't tickle my fancy, really.
Okay.
But I did find an FD1 there, and we have FD1s, but I was just like, I've never thrown an FD1.
Not like a Skywalker? Mm. Not Casey White's signature?
No,
it wasn't. Just a regular FD1.
Yeah. So I grabbed one of those. So that was that update. So, but back to it. So like that type of stuff and why do you suck? Like, I think a lot of those things are going to just disappear over the winter.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
Because we don't play.
Yeah.
And we suck because there's snow on the ground.
Unless somebody wants to maybe suggest something that we can, like a segment or something that we can.
Yeah. Kind of fill in those gaps a little bit. But we'll start going over like player movement and things like that. Controversy or big changes or whatever it may be. So, but with that being said, you can keep up with most of that stuff at door_disc_golf or night_owl_pod. And I'm assuming we're going to start asking some questions because it seemed like we got a good response with that last one.
Yeah, I'll try to put out some more things for people to kind of like engage with.
Right.
I mean, I've done it a couple times on podcast episodes. If you listen on Spotify, you know, every once in a while I'll put a random poll or a question. Mm. But if we have enough interest on Instagram as well, I'll do it there too.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. I guess wherever. I mean, as long as we get the engagement, I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we started out early doing the engagement and then we just kind of fell off of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just recently you did that one and it seemed like you got a decent enough response.
Yeah. It was just a question that I had with things. And then, I had the random thought, like it popped up the other day. What was the better trilogy of discs. It was like I had asked if Axiom, MVP, and Streamline was better than DD, Latitude, and West Side.
Yeah.
And it was close. It was, I think, DD, like trilogy, just edged out like the MVP trilogy, 52% to 48%. You know, I never
thought about the trilogy. They're two trilogies.
Yeah. I mean, you could get into it with them being making Thought Space as well, yeah. Or, you know, or Mint, because they do Mint discs, right, as yeah. well. I'm sure there's some other, you know, Innova, Heiserbaum, Millennium, those yeah. kind of things. But I think if you were to like really gauge interest about a true trilogy, the true trilogies, mm-hmm. it might be those.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and you can even look on the other side with the trilogy, you know, like DD. And I mean, it's technically DD, West Side, Lat,
yeah,
Cassiplast,
right now the House of Discs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Dynamic, no, Discmania,
and, yeah,
yeah, it's all the House of Discs people. So, all right, so we'll start out with shop updates. So, shop updates, we have the MVP, Jarapalooza boxes coming in. We have more time lapses coming in, and then they're supposed to come out Black Friday ish sometime. I think all of them
are releasing around. Yeah, it's the special edition. Regular edition, well, the stock run, mm-hmm. and then the Jarapalooza boxes are all supposed to come out at the same time on right. Black Friday.
Yep. So I don't think we have them yet, but they are on their way. So
nice.
And then I have the Double Steady Wild Honeys coming as well. So that's kind of the big things we have. And yeah. then we will have a Black Friday sale. And it'll be across the board, anything except it'll be excluding carts and baskets and some of the larger sure. stuff. But we're going to just do a flat discount. And I think it's just going to be 20% across the board.
Nice.
So in the order Black Friday weekend, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it'll be just 20% off of anything. So and then all discount codes will still apply. So if you wanted to do like the free shipping code on top of that or anything like that, it's out there.
Okay.
Just got to find it. So
Bobby had a Instagram live the other day showing off the discs.
Okay.
And I think he said there's cookies and mint as well.
Oh, he did.
Through Cool Daddy Disc Golf.
Yep.
And he just showed off some of the color combinations of the Wild Honeys. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, there's some pretty good ones.
Yeah, yeah. And I was fortunate enough, so I had visited him the day before they came.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, because we were trying to time it so where I could get there and pick some and then go.
Yeah, right.
It just didn't work out just with my timings because I came home earlier than I thought I was going to from Austin. Mm-hmm. So our day was just one day off. I would have stuck to the schedule. I would have been a drive through and I would have been able to pick them all out.
Yeah.
But he said he picked me up some good stuff.
Cool.
So he had it sitting aside for me. So we'll see what it is. You know, he kind of gave me a quick sneak peek of it. We were chatted a little bit, but I was like, I haven't paid for it yet, so you're not going to send it.
I think Foundation did a review on it because they got like an early look at it. Mm-hmm. Clash sent them some, but I'm really interested how the disc is actually molded and like fitted together. Mm-hmm. And if that, you know, if there's like a parting line or anything with the plastic, if that's going to affect yeah. it much or not. But
did Foundation say anything about that?
They did say they could feel a little something, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't think it's like Innova with like the nubs on the Atlas or anything like crazy like
that's
that, like
one holding of the most it to atrocious. Better.
Yeah. You know, crazy, but
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right.
And then Clash has some really, really exciting stuff coming up. And I haven't yeah. told you about it yet. But I don't even know if I'm allowed to yet. I'll yeah. get some permission. But
well, I know they're trying to work on some. I don't know if it's like a mystery box or something coming out like mm-hmm. down the road. I think Bobby mentioned that when he was talking with us.
Yep, yep. Yeah, they do have that. They did put that out. It was like a Christmas box yeah, or something like yeah, that. Yeah,
something like that.
They did put that out. That's officially out yep. there now. But there's some stuff kind of behind the scenes that's being worked on that's really, really neat. I mean, really cool. neat. Like I said, I've been sworn to secrecy, so
yeah.
I won't say anything out loud, but it's kind of, I would say it's industry changing,
ooh.
Maybe just slightly.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
okay.
And kind of like those, duh, you know, because when I was told, I was like,
it's so obvious, but like people just aren't thinking of it.
Well,
that
exactly.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things where when I was told about it, and I was kind of said the same way, like it's like industry changing. And I'm like, really? Can it be? Like, what can you do to a round piece of plastic? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right? Cool, you know?
That is, okay.
So something forward, look forward to.
Nice, all right.
And I think that's about it. I think before I get myself in trouble and say too much,
yep.
We'll move on from that one. but yeah, so some neat stuff coming out from Clash pretty soon. So we kind of did the recap. So what I want to do is we're just going to jump into it. So we're going a little off, you know, our normal format, of course, because like I said, we're going to be kind of changing it up a little bit for the winter. But what I want to talk about is burnout, and you touched on it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's apt to talk about that because I think a lot of people that may listen to us are Rona golfers. You know, they started 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of disc golfers are that way. And I think a lot of people are starting to hit that point where they're getting to a love-hate with disc golf.
Sure. Like,
they used to love it, but they're starting to feel that it's a chore, or maybe it's not as fun as it used to be, or maybe the friends they started with have split ways, or, you know, all these mysterious different things. Maybe they're not seeing the growth that they did in the beginning. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Maybe just life circumstances change. They've gotten into a job or anything like that. So I want to talk about burnout because I think it's, like I said, a very relevant to, I guess, disc golf, and it happens. So you mentioned your burnout just a bit. Can you expand a little more, or maybe even talk about other times you've had burnout with it?
There's a point in disc golf, not so near, like I have, you know, talked about right now, like I didn't play a ton of disc golf, but I still kind of felt like, not burnout, but there's just this feeling with me and just being competitive with mm-hmm. it as far as playing tournaments. And it's not spending $50 to be a PDGA member when I'm only playing two tournaments a year and mm-hmm. like putting money that way just isn't feasible for me anymore, really. Right. But when I first started, I was really into it.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say when I first started. I stopped playing for a number of years after I moved up here. And then we kind of, through the club and everything, like the love of the game kind of got everything back.
Uh-huh.
And so I plateaued. And then through, you know, I was only hitting, you know, certain marks with distance and, you know, putting and all mm-hmm. that. And then all of a sudden, had to spend a little bit of money, mm-hmm. you know, get the practice basket at home and all that. But then, someone, taught me the X step and all that. So like there was like a little bit of frustration at that plateau mm-hmm. and then eventually evolve. And then I'm kind of at a plateau right now a little bit. And that's kind of frustrating as far as some things. And so that's kind of where I'm not burned out, but I know that I have to just work a little harder to break through the plateau, but that might be kind of where I burn out because I did start working out. I should say, not air quotes, but like I'm lifting weights and doing other things because I want to get back in shape for volleyball, but I'm hoping that functionally it'll also help with my explosiveness mm-hmm. With disc golf, lower body timing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really hoping that, but it's been such a long time since I've worked out that I'm like, oh God, like just kind of having to get back into it, changing the diet a little bit. That's mm-hmm. always, that's something that I'm trying to do as well as I sit here and drink my bubbler. But yeah, so that's just kind of other stuff that needs to be done, but I'm just not looking forward to it.
Right. So I always like to point out to people, like seasons of life are real.
Yeah.
You know, they're really real.
Well, I'm sure everybody's going through right now with the way, with daylight savings time. And it's like, oh man, I can only get, maybe one or two or three rounds when I was playing way more disc golf during the summer months,
Yep, exactly. And you talk about like the real seasons like we're talking about. But then there's also like, I always talk about seasons of life,
Yeah.
Like there are points in your life where things just change.
Mm-hmm.
like there's a season of life of becoming a parent. There's a season of life. And, you know, I think some of our listeners understand that. Some of our listeners don't because they're just not at that point mm-hmm. yet. But then, you know, there's a season of life of a job change. There's a season of life of,
you Ben's know. Going through that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's a season of life of, who knows, like I went back to college.
Oh,
or
yeah.
I'm whatever it may be. Or you got out of college and you're like, oh, crap, what do I do with all my time now? So there's all these different seasons of life that come through. And it bears to keep in mind that I started playing in 2000, 2001, maybe 99. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was in that era. And there was a season of life where I didn't touch a disc. I still had the disc, still loved the game. Every time I saw him, I was like, I should go play. Mm-hmm. But we lived up in a desert up here. You know, a disc golf desert up here. It just wasn't anything around. And then sometime in like 2012 was when Sugar Creek went in. And I was like, oh, that'd be great. But then I'm like, I don't want to drive 45 minutes,
you know,
just to throw some discs. And so then, you know, it took a little bit longer. And then we finally, you know, the club came around. And we you know, I had Dave Elliott's course, well, mm-hmm. the object course and stuff. So then it kind of picked back up. So that season life came back in me. And I think this year I had another small change, like a season in life with disc golf again, where it felt like a burden or like a job or, you know, something that was just like I had to, it was another check mark on my task list, sure. on my to-do list.
But, okay, question. Uh-huh. Did you feel that even more, like not even playing-wise, but like with the shop?
Oh, absolutely.
Being on top of it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a shop because the dynamic of the shop is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't go any more than that, but the dynamics of shop is different. And it ends up being something that, once again, it gets put on a checklist. Like, mm-hmm. I have to make sure to do X, Y, or Z. We have to make sure to, you know, I have to make sure to run leagues. I have to make sure, like, those are those type of things. Where all that stuff beforehand was super fun, enjoyable. Like, I get to go play with the buddies, you know. And some reason, something switched in my mind. You know, and I'm very clear on what that reason is. But it switched in my mind, and it became more of a burden. And that was something that happened personally. And I got over it, you know, but it took 4 or 5 months, you know. And it was a long time. And, you know, I think we talk about that where there's some friends we have that are going through something similar, you know. And the thing that I had to step back to is, what has disc golf brought me? And be very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what has disc golf done for me? And is it worth continuing to burden myself? You know, and I throw up the air quotes when I say burden myself. Is it worth continuing to burden myself for disc golf?
Sure.
You know, is that something that's worth doing? And then when I finally stepped back and looked at what disc golf has given me, and it's a ton of amazing relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ton of, like, you and I's relationship. I don't think we would be as close as we are if it wasn't for disc golf.
Sure.
I mean, plain and simple. Like, I think we would be Door County friends.
Yeah.
But I don't think we would be, like, friends doing a podcast, you know, like, all that stuff. And, you know, the stuff we talk about before and after, like, I would have never talked about stuff like that with you, mm-hmm. you know? So it's kind of one of those things, like, I think about those type of relationships that I built. And, you know, you're not the only one. There are dozens of people like that. And then outside of that, there's all those people that you just met, and every time you see them, they just bring a smile to your face, you know, because you played out there, you've had good experience with them. And I think that's what saved me, you know, from having that disc golf, like, I'm done. I don't want to mm-hmm. do this anymore. So I think if people are ever in that moment, I think that's what you need to look back on. Like, what has disc golf given you?
Yeah.
And is that worth giving up for this season of your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that's really probably good advice for anything in your life.
Yeah.
You know, if you get to that point, you're definitely. Like, oh, I hate this, you know, like you're having trouble with your wife and you're like, ah, I hate this, you know, maybe step back and figure out what that person is giving you first, you know? But you know, it's just those, it's real. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You know, there's no problem. No one's going to hate you for not playing. Well, if they do hate you for not playing disc golf, like maybe they're not the right people to be hanging around, but no one's going to hate you for it. And as soon as you grab those discs and walk out on that course, they're going to act like that never happened.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just, keep your head up, keep slinging plastic and or not sling plastic, and you know, whenever you're ready, come back. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it's always there for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Those courses aren't going anywhere.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, by the looks of it, I mean, you'll probably have 3 or 4 more courses when you come back in your area. That's kind of how the growth is going.
Sure.
So.
Or plat.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, the market itself, I think, is a whole different discussion. Right. I think that could be a whole episode.
Yeah, I really could.
But yeah, the market itself is kind of plateauing. But yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, anything else to talk about burnout? Like,
yeah, the social media aspect for me mm-hmm. with disc golf is kind of burning out. Like, I didn't produce as much Instagram reels or videos and stuff just because I wasn't playing a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I look at the number of people on social media doing disc golf, and I just look, I'm like, oh, everything's the same. Like, that's just
everything's the same.
That's kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. I can't, how many times can you watch somebody throw hyzer on a hole with a different, there's nothing, I don't want to say innovating.
Oh, there's nothing innovative.
No, it's, and I, you know, it's fun to watch people and stuff. And I look and I'm like, okay, people have, you know, thousands and thousands, you know, way more. Like, mm-hmm. I have 1,200, but that took me years and years to get to. And there's people now who have come out that have gotten that much, you know, since COVID with,
right,
in a very, very short time. Mm-hmm. But I just keep looking. I'm like, man, I mean, they post multiple times a day. So their content's constantly getting.
Yeah.
And at one point, you know, I tried to do something different with the 360 camera, like trying to show a different angle. And for a while, it was like really catching on. And then it kind of dropped off. And I was just like, well, but I don't want to do what everybody else is
right
doing, but it's not getting me as many views. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't want to fall into that category.
Right.
So you kind of have to, and I give credit to people who go out on, you know, have YouTube, like Simon and Robbie C. Like, Robbie C's right. got, like, a lot of different things going for him, though, because he kind of expands. He's got his gaming. He's got his board game thing.
Yep.
He's got, like, doing stuff with the Foundation guys I just watched the other day. And to constantly come up with new ideas and, you know, the constant or disc reviews and mm-hmm. all that. Like, people are going to be interested in disc reviews because it's a new disc and all right. that. But I'm just like, well, once one new disc, it's like you get everybody's opinion on stuff. And it's right. like, yeah, I don't know.
You know, and I think the variables in disc golf are so nominal that it's hard to come out with fun, exciting new ways to approach disc golf.
Yeah.
Not impossible, because I think Robbie C is one of those guys that's doing it. I think, you know, obviously it's a fanboy type thing, but like, you know, I think Bobby is doing a really good job. Cool mm-hmm. Daddy Slick Breeze. I think he's doing a really good job with some of the newer stuff that he's been putting out.
Sure.
You know, and I have a bunch of good ideas. And I think what happens with the algorithms is we get sucked into this hole of consuming the same thing over and over and mm-hmm. over again. So in disc golf, like, you just consume disc golf.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, there's some other people that are on the fringe, like maybe some of the, like, racier side of things. Like, you see some girls that are starting to pull the OnlyFans stuff, you know, with just, like, disc golf OnlyFans, you know, kind of like we joke about. But they're, like, legitimately doing it.
Yeah.
So you see the racier side of stuff. And then you see the other stuff where it's just straight up, like, here's the disc. This is the profile. Like, it's really simple, simple stuff.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, that's what you get. Like, disc golf is disc golf. Like, here's this disc. This is what it looks like. Ooh, it's real domey. It's nice. Watch it fly in hyzer. Mm-hmm. You know? Okay, now I'm going to throw a flat. Now I'm going to throw it on any.
I mean, you can go to different courses and show those shots, you know, to display a different course.
Right.
But it's still pretty much the same thing.
That's exactly it. I mean, that's where you get a lot of these people, like in golf, like traditional golf. That gets a little mundane as well, but there's so many variables just within the swing of golf mm-hmm. that you can do so many different things with one club. You know what I mean? So I think the difference is that, and let's be real, other than a few people in the world, you can't really do much stuff that's impressive with a disc. You know,
sure.
I mean, you have like the ace guy, like he does an amazing, like,
yeah,
so many aces.
Right.
You know, and then you think there's like a couple people that have their niches, for the most part, you're right. It's just the same stuff, you know? And then you look at like the foundation guys who are doing, I think they're doing fantastic. And they're doing awesome stuff. But if you look at their stuff and then go watch Mr. Beast's channel, I mean, they're doing disc golf Mr. Beast. Okay. What they're doing. Sure. Or they're doing disc golf, like all these groups, like I'm trying to think of the stuff my kids watch, like RAR and like all those channels, you know? And I'm not taking anything from them, but you're right. Like it just gets repetitive.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, not to like, I'm not going to, even podcasts too, like.
Right.
I think there's something about us that we try to bring that's different than other podcasts, right? But we're all reporting on the same news. We're all reporting on this, you know?
That's right.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Right.
There's only so much that can get thrown around.
Well, when it's such a small sport, that's all you can do. You know, and I'm not taking anything away, and I don't think you are either, from the people that are doing well. It just does get mundane. You know, and that's why sometimes, like, we've had these discussions where I'm like, I don't even want to do one tonight. Like, there's nothing fun to talk about. Everybody's talked about it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where you and I, like, there's very few podcasts that aren't cheerleaders. Very few podcasts that aren't cheerleaders. Like, everything's great. Everything's happy. Like, it's great. Like, let's support this person. And I think that's the one thing we do a little different. Like, we don't like somebody. We just say we don't like that person. Yeah. And it's not that we don't like, no. Take that back. I don't think we've ever attacked a person. No,
it's not like, it's not just anything personal. No,
it's the fandom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always, like we've said before, there's always villains to every hero. And we talk about them. We say stuff. And that may or may not make us popular because of that. You know, like we'll talk about our buddy Ben, you know, and Joel Freeman. Like, he's not a fan of Joel Freeman, right. You know. And then like me, like I'm not a fan of Paige Pierce. And it's not that I'm not a fan of Paige Pierce, just as a disc golfer. I think she's amazing. She's great for the sport, but she's my villain.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather see Tatar win over Pierce, you know, that type of stuff. Or Allen win over Pierce. Like, that's fine. Yeah. So I get it. Like, it's hard, you know. And then in the back of my mind, the critic that I am, I'm always like, we should do this and they should do that. And like, but then it's like, do I really want to put that effort in? It's like, and then I'm like, oh, I'm lazy. I'm going to eat Doritos and sit on the couch. So, well, anything else?
No, that's it for that.
All right. So with that being said, just watch our Instagrams because it sounds like we're not going to be doing much in them pretty soon. actually, I had some to talk about sitting outside, you know, so I don't know if you watch volleyball stuff or not. Like, if in your feeds you get volleyball things or anything sometimes, like that.
Right.
So I get a lot more mountain biking stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a couple people on, like, there's some mountain bike channels that are just phenomenal.
Okay.
And they're phenomenal because they're entertaining. They're not really teaching you much. They're just taking the stereotypes and the everyday things that happen in disc golf, and they're making it pretty funny.
Okay.
You know? Or they're like really exaggerating these things. Like, it's just entertainment is all it is. And I've thought, like, you know, that stuff is so easy to do in disc golf because there's so many of those little like nuances that people get frustrated with or, you know, that happen all the time. But you would run dry on those too.
You know? After a while.
Yeah. After a while. And I've also thought about being like the cynic in disc golf, you know, doing that thing where it's like everything's horrible, everything's bad, you know, that type of stuff. But then I'm like, is that really that fun to do? You know, would that be draining?
Yeah.
You know, to be that guy that's always negative on something.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you'd have bad energy coming your way all the time.
It'd be horrible. It'd be horrible. But there's nobody out there doing it for disc golf.
True.
You know, so it's like, well, you could make a name for yourself being a punk, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be the way to go, I guess.
Someone did call out people for, what was it? They claimed that they're just like pushing hot button topics all the time, you know, just to get like clickbait.
Right.
You know, just to like get headlines and be like that guy, you know, like, oh, they're just doing that to get, you know, views or listens, whatever it is. And yeah, sure. Like you do that every once in a while.
You said doo-doo.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And sure. I think everybody does that from time to time because maybe it is relevant at this point, but
that's the game.
Yeah.
That's the game you play with social media. You know, I mean, that's the things you need to do in order to stay relevant. But then again, I mean, there's a lot of people that do completely off the wall stuff and they stay relevant. You know, I think ultimately the thing is to be successful and do stuff like Robbie C does and do stuff that these standouts in our industry do. You just got to be a connoisseur. I mean, you got to constantly consume media.
Yeah. And not just disc golf stuff, like expand. Everything. Yeah. Because even, so another thing I saw recently from Foundation is that they're starting a content creator academy, I think is what I saw. And I don't know if that's strictly for like video content or if it expands beyond that. But somebody's funny on their comments, they're like, oh, this is totally an MLM.
Exactly.
Pay us money to give you guys ideas. But
it is brilliant. It is exactly what all social media does.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the pattern it follows. Like,
okay, but here's the thing is Bobby helped you guys.
Right. There's a market for it.
There is. Yeah.
There's truly a market for it.
For Julie's.
It is, and what Bobby gave us was very valuable for us. I don't think anything was groundbreaking because we've seen it all. We've heard it all. And you've seen it all. You've heard it all. He's seen it all. But it's the reinforcement. It's the coaching. It's the accountability. It's like that's what we paid for.
Sure.
It's making sure that he's telling us, hey, now here's the next step. Like, oh, yeah, we've seen that. But where did we push this into our thing?
Okay.
You know, and for our that business's social media, it's fantastic. You know, like we're doing great. I mean, as far as a small little resort town restaurant goes.
Yeah.
Like we're picking up quite a bit of steam or we've picked up quite a bit of steam. But we've taken it to a level of like, we're just doing this for entertainment. Like,
yeah.
This isn't really, I mean, it's marketing, but it's marketing in a way like, hey, we're fun. Come check us out.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what disc golf media is, is like, that's almost 100% what that is.
Yeah.
You know, where do you have the guys that are sitting there with the talking heads and like, this is what needs to change in disc golf. Like you just really don't see it a lot.
True.
There's a couple of people that do it like Iceberg and
yeah,
you know, they do a decent job with stuff like that. So, but good for them. Like I have nothing bad to say about how Foundation is moving forward with that stuff. And you know, like it or not, Hunter has done something that no other company in disc golf has done. You know, Hunter and Foundation, they've done something that no other disc golf company has done. They've had some advantages. You know, they've had some people behind them that have really made them.
Yeah, right.
But nevertheless, they've still taken that ball, that advantage or that ball or whatever it was and ran with it. You know, they could have taken that advantage and just sat on it and been like, meh. You know, we got so-and-so behind us. It's no big deal. They could have done nothing. No, they just kept pushing.
Yep.
You know, so I give them super credit for that stuff. You know, now they have a pretty big organization.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so. And Robbie C.
Yep.
You know, so speaking of a big organization, let's talk about Westside.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the best commercials or announcements I have ever seen in disc golf.
Yeah.
Bar none, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing better. When I saw it, I was like, this is fantastic. And what we're talking about is Matty O's 4-year extension. And at the end, when they take the hood off of him.
Yeah. He's got the hand up. He's like trying to like shield his eyes from the sun and everything.
What did he say? He goes,
let's give him hell or don't.
So y'all didn't have, or so, I don't remember.
It was like, you don't have to threaten me with a good
That's
time.
That's what it was. You don't have to threaten me with a good time. Let's get it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. So with that being said, Matty Oaks signs an extension for 4 years. Didn't know anything about money, anything like that. But talk about social media. Like this is well and above helicopters.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, yeah. I know it's, I will say this. When Didi came out with the Kona and Ricky videos, those were really well put together as well. The excitement level, because I think we all kind of knew what was going to happen with Ricky and maybe even Kona. But yeah, as you never, so I'm kind of lost for words what I was going to say. But I think the way that the West Side video was put together with, you had Ricky, you had Terry Miller, you had, what's his name from Overthrow? Like, you know, like the four more years and then all of a sudden the chants and the signs and everything. That was just way more exciting than watching the two of them come off the helicopter. And, you know, Eric McCabe shaking hands and seeing them walk around the, you know, the warehouse and stuff. I think it's not that there was like a story behind it, but it kind of played out that way in the West Side video. And then you see Danny, you saw Anthony. I don't know who the other person was.
Yeah, like the judge.
Yeah. I don't know who that was either. It was kind of like a round table thing or something like that. And then, you just see the West Side, you know, bag over his head and you're like, well, what the heck is this, you know?
He's like, I gotta try to meet a good time.
But phenomenal deal for the both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wasn't surprised at all.
No.
And if you hear the low rumble, we're back into winter season and the heater kicked on downstairs. I forgot to turn it off. it's a phenomenal kick for them or get for them. It's also like, I know, man, that is loud.
It is, man. All of a sudden.
Hopefully it doesn't translate into.
Hopefully we can get that out.
Yeah, hopefully. So it is. So the manual, I'm trying to get back to my thoughts, is like killing my thoughts here. Oh, so what I liked about it was the whole like Illuminati reference, like, because they played all those little references where like there's a couple guys that kind of run the thing.
Right.
You know, they're the ones sitting around. Well, we got to do something. What do we do? You know, I just thought it was really good. I mean, I thought it fit Matty O very well. I've never given a personality to West Side. You know, but I think now I have a personality.
Well, they've always kind of been the company that just is a couple steps behind. Yes. It's like mom and dad are like, you know, walking out in front and there's the kid trailing behind.
Exactly. Yeah.
That kind of situation. Yeah.
The kid that's like sticking in the back, like picking his butters and kind of looking up at the birds, you know.
And then they're like, hey, come on, catch up. Yeah. You know, like that kind of situation.
What do we got to do to make you? Yeah. Or there's like, you know, they have the three siblings. You know, there's always that one sibling that's just not as good. Yeah. You know, he's the guy that likes, like, I think I'm going to stay home and play video games. They're like, come on, let's play basketball. Like, nah, I think I'm just going to chill here and play video games, you know. So good for Matty O. I'm super happy. So Terry Miller has some fun announcement as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you got details on that?
Yeah. So Terry Miller, who is a big proponent of Thailand disc golf, has purchased the disc golf the assets to the Samui Classic, or the Samui Swine disc golf course in Thailand. Now, it was originally run by, or started by, Nigel Mills. That was the original guy. He started it in 2013. And so basically, he left the course, I think, a couple of years ago, or kind of around COVID or something like that. And there's kind of in jeopardy of like the course kind of falling by the wayside. They want to grow the sport of disc golf in Thailand and Indonesia, that area. They can see growth, but they're having trouble getting people there. Now, Terry had originally gone over to just film it a number of times, and through him filming it, it drew the attention of like Philo, Barsby, Nate Perkins would go over there quite often. Yeah, Paige Pierce had gone over there a couple of times, so it's not like a crazy difficult or long course, but people definitely who have gone there have enjoyed playing it. And so the course itself sits on a coconut grove and like farming fields, and there's an agreement from neighbors to let the course be on this amount of property. And then there's an Airbnb as well that you can like rent out, you know, to stay during disc golf and everything. It sounds like him and another gentleman have gone in to keep the course afloat, keep the tournament afloat.
Okay.
And that's about all I really have. Okay. So yeah. I mean, this was news on AltiWorld. So, I mean, kind of exciting. I mean, it's like, I think it was always kind of billed as like the buildup to the buildup of the disc golf season for, you know, if you could get over there. Payouts, you know, haven't been huge compared to, you know, over here, obviously, because you're not getting the draw, you're not getting the amount of people. So it'll be interesting to see, since Terry's name is attached to this, how many people are willing to go over before the season really kicks off to get there.
I don't see it being that much different.
Probably not.
But I'm sure he'll pull a handful of good pros every year. But you know what's great about tournaments like that? You get a chance to go play with the pros.
Yeah.
And really play with the pros. Like, because highest rated people in Thailand are maybe 900 rated.
Yeah.
920 rated. So then you bring these pros over and you sign up and you're probably going to be playing with one of those pros.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really good opportunity to go visit Thailand and then play with the pros.
Like, yeah.
I mean, that's really what it was. And that was kind of, you know, that's what, oh, and there's another thing. But that's kind of like, you know, Vegas back in the day, Gentleman's Club, like before Philo won it, that was kind of what it was. You know, you got to play with the pros.
Well, that's something interesting to talk about too in a minute.
It is. It is. So good job, Terry Miller. Thanks for, you know, saving another disc golf thing there and, you know, promoting the sport and growing it in another country. Well, that's great. I mean, the beauty and, you know, the companionship and the friendship that comes along with disc golf, it's invaluable, you know, I think in a lot of areas.
Well, and even, so we mentioned Paige Pierce, she's taken a number of trips, her and Alyssa, to Thailand with people. Like, they get like a tour going and then they go over there and, you know, travel Thailand or maybe another country in that area. And then they like find disc golf there, you know, like maybe it's some off beaten path course, you know, that's set up or whatever. So you just have to, I don't know how closely the pro tour or, you know, how closely it's monitored over there, but if you can get that interest,
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I had one more, but I think let's go into Las Vegas Challenge. So LVC was bumped from the Pro Tour completely.
Yeah.
And then when they announced their dates, always been in February.
Yeah.
Every year it's been in February. It is in the middle of May now.
Right.
They moved it. So I don't know. I didn't read anything of why, but I'm assuming, and this is 100% assumption, I should just get on and read about it, but I like making assumptions.
Yeah.
So let's do this. I'm assuming it's because they want their spot back. You know, they want to get back on the Pro Tour. And that's one of the open gaps. And that's about the time they make the swing towards California.
Right. It's in between Dynamic Disc, DDO, and OTB.
So I think what they'll do is they'll still pull some of the local, you know, like Nate Sexton will probably still go since the big.
I could see, I would see a lot of Innova players or quite a few Innova players. I think Yuli said that he might make a look at going there, you know, if it's feasible. Because, I mean, it's 2 weeks in between that trip.
Right. And there's still big money at it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's not a bad pit stop.
No.
You know, not a bad pit stop at all.
Not really.
It'll be a bit hotter.
Yeah.
During that time, it'll be a bit hotter. I'm sure it'll have much better weather. You won't have the snow or the rain. You know, I mean, it's just going to be hot.
Yeah.
All it's going to be. But, I mean, that's what they're playing down in Texas at that point anyways, you know, and then they head over to California. So I don't think it's going to be that much worse. Because I know a lot of pros have talked about OTB, like why Stockton is still part of it. Because it's like not an awesome place to go.
Right. And I think there's a growing community of disc golfers, pro tour players that really aren't going to be making the west side or the west coast trip too much longer, from what I understand. I don't know. I mean, you still have Portland being the Elite Plus. Mm-hmm. So that's a big reason to get out there. Mm-hmm. But then there's, Portland Open, Beaver State, I think is still a...
Still a thing, yeah.
Still a thing, yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But you see, like... Then coming back, they had the, what was it, the Zootown, like in Montana. Mm-hmm. That's gone. That's no longer a thing. Yep. And then, so there's not much going from the West Coast back to East. Like, you get mm-hmm. to the Preserve. Then you got a little bit of time before, like, D-Glow and, like, Ledgestone and that. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I think there's always going to be some holes. And I think there has to be a bit. I mean, we've talked about this a bit already, but... I think we're just going to have to step back and figure out, like, what is the pro tour other than this growth, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I think I'm sure they're going to have that conversation pretty soon. But if you're really serious about making sure that the tour is easier for players, stop adding stops, mm-hmm. you know, set a cap, like you're only going to have 12 a year.
Yeah.
That's what a pro tour is, you know. Going getting into 20s at this point now, and then overseas as well, mm-hmm. and like
what's going to be the qualifying tour and
yeah
all that coming with it too, you know, to get your get into the tournaments and then get your card,
get your tour card. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, so too bad for Vegas, but also awesome timing for Vegas. I mean, I think May would be a good time to go there.
Yeah, I think that's more decent. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, like you said, the weather is always pretty unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You can always count on wind.
For sure.
But, you know, the rain or the snow, that's not going to be missed.
And during that time of year, it's not monsoon season. It's a good time of year.
Yeah.
Is what it is. So, and I'm assuming the golf courses has no issue with it now because, I mean, why would they allow them to move it to May? That must still be a slow time for the golf course. So, I mean, but then again, there's a lot of money in that.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of money in that. So
I think the money for the golf course probably is just too good to pass up.
I bet you that's what it is. Yeah. Especially when you talk about like the concessions and, you know, the facility rentals and then the cart rentals for practice days. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah. So
I'd be interested to see the regression of the facility setup now that the Pro Tour is not a part of it.
Right.
Because I remember what it was when we first started going, and I still won't go this year. Well, I don't know. Maybe if it's in May, I might go.
I mean,
nah, I don't know. That'd be, but I just probably wouldn't get there for practice. I wouldn't do the 2-week thing like I normally do.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, that's more of a possibility with the little one. So maybe it works out and I don't have to miss one and I'll do 8 years in a row, 7 years in a row.
What about like club softball?
Oh, yeah. No, that ends about that time.
Oh, okay.
So there's like this little hiatus.
Yeah.
I think it coincides perfectly with that. So the only thing would is like if there's a race or a tournament that I wanted to go to here. But
yeah,
if it was a disc golf tournament, I would just go to Vegas for it.
Sure.
Like, why not? So, all right. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else that we want to talk about?
No, we had discussed player movement. Like the only
Oh, yeah. I guess the one thing was Matty O and then.
Yeah. I mean, there's been speculation about, you know, like obviously Gannon, mm-hmm. you know, people are speculating on that. A lot of people have speculated on Alden Harris going to Discmania.
Yeah. Because of the jersey that.
It was the President's Cup jersey mm-hmm. that he was wearing and someone saw it on social media like, oh, he's wearing a Discmania jersey.
Yeah.
And he joined a Discmania, you know, buy sell trade group.
Right.
I think a lot of people, you know, I don't know.
I mean, those are good hints.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a tall tale sign. I mean, like tall tale sign. Now, Gannon Burr, on the other hand, if he doesn't go away from Prodigy, I would put $100 on it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no way that he's not going to go away from Prodigy.
Even the Pro Tour the other day had a post that they're like, what do you think the biggest move is, you know, going to be this offseason? You know, just people were like, well, obviously Gannon. Yep. I said Aaron Gossage leaving Discraft is a possibility, and some people kind of laughed that off. But anything's possible.
Right.
People think Chris Clemens is definitely going to leave because he changed his, you know, Instagram handle.
DG Clemens instead of DD Clemens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Clemens, that would be weird to see Clemens somewhere else.
It would be.
But there's a very good possibility. Mm-hmm. Very good possibility. I still think Eagle's leaving. I'm still a firm believer.
I don't know. With the shoulder surgery and not being able to touch discs, I still think he's going to stay with Discmania.
I think this is his cheapest time to pick him
up. Oh, that's interesting.
Because I think if you say, hey, you come back, I'll pick you up, I'll match what Discmania has given you, and then, you know, your next, your throwing year, then we'll
the start eagle pushing line it out of discs.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to, I think
I can't imagine him moving away from the Cloudbreaker.
I know. But could you imagine, you know, PD1s?
No.
Outside of Simon?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or P1s.
Yeah.
The P1 ace. I wonder what happened to that.
P3X. Case.
What happened to the P1 ace?
I don't know.
That he had. Remember that blue one? He used to throw all over the place? All right. Here is your random question.
Okay.
Or thought-provoking random question.
Yeah.
So think back. I know this is a long time for both of us. College. Okay. What is the one thing from college that you wish was still in your life right now?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I miss the days where, okay, so we lived in an apartment building on campus, and there was two upper apartments, two lower apartments, and the Halo LAN parties we had were awesome.
Oh, local area network.
Yes.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, we hooked up through the internet and everything, and then we would just yell to each other. Rather than, I mean, we had headsets, you could talk and everything, but you could just be like, hey, are we playing again? Like, you know, or knock on the ceiling or knock on the floor, and like, and we would just go hours, man. Like, and I guess that's something I kind of miss, because I don't game with anybody. Like, I just, if I get on or do anything, it's solo. I don't
really
have any friends or anybody to do anything like that. Or even, I don't go out to the bar anymore and like get wasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, it was like, hey, Friday night, we're doing this. Yeah, we're totally doing that. Now, Friday night's like, okay, I got to get up the next day and like do stuff. So, exactly.
I'm kind of a big day at Home Depot.
Yeah. Just little stuff like that. Or like just going, like getting a group of friends to like go to a concert or like anything like that. It's always so hard now because people have such different schedules.
Well, yeah, and life. Yeah, it's just life is real. Life is real. And we live in a very different area too, because like people our age have, like, they work their butts off or they own something. And it's just like, how do you ever have time? Like,
well, especially this time of year with all their seasonal employees have left, and they're the ones sitting there like having to take control of
it. They're like, well, we're going to have to start working more. So yeah, it's just this weird dynamic that we live in. Like, the people that are our age either are doing the doubles and then they leave because they're seasonal workers and they just want to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then primarily the rest of the people like either own something or manage something, or they're, you know, in the, you know, and it's just,
I feel
like
that's a really, we're in a really unique area like that,
for sure.
So
and it's everybody understands, you know, so like when we see each other, it's like, ah, like we never, you know, lost a beat, but we maybe, and I haven't seen each other in 4 months, you know.
Sure.
It's just what it is, you know. Like, well, how have you been? You've been breathing, you know. Yeah, I've been doing all right. So all right, so for me, college days, I think the thing I miss the most is it's, so this is the weird thing. So we used to do, I used to do this, like, and I think it was with a lot of my friends, where we would just, we would find a sport and we would play that sport until, like, we just were dead.
Oh, really? You
know, like, and we would play it, like, every night for months.
Okay.
And it wouldn't matter what it was. Like, I went on an Ultimate Spoons run where we would get people from the hall, and we would play every single night till, like, 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And do you know what Ultimate Spoons are?
Kind of.
Okay. So the way we used to play it is we would set the spoons pretty good distance away.
Yeah.
So they would be, I don't know. So where we were in the basement of the residence hall that we were in, there was this real long hallway, because all of our buildings were connected by hallways, by underground tunnels. And there's this like 150-yard tunnel. And, you know, there's like classrooms on both sides.
Yeah.
And then a weight room was at the end of it. And we would put the spoons like on the bench of the bench in the weight room.
Okay.
And then we would sit in like the lounge which is like 150 yards or like 150 feet, 200 feet away, you know?
Yeah.
And when someone would drop that spoon finally or drop those cards finally and start sprinting, everybody would just get up and we'd be like tripping people and pushing people over. Oh my God. You know, whoever had the spoon was laughing. I mean, it was literally like, when someone would get up, everybody would just start swatting at their feet to try to knock them over, you know? And like, it was, I mean, it got rough. Like actually one kid, I don't know if he broke his arm or fractured his arm because he ran into the, you know, the center pole between two doors. Like,
oh yeah.
There's that. He ran into it like full speed, full go. And you just heard it like, boom. Yeah. He was like, oh, and he went straight to the nurse. Yeah. But
man,
we had some pretty rough runs. And then there was a time where we played Nerf Wars.
Oh yeah.
And then when, what are those little BB? Airsoft?
Airsoft.
When Airsoft first came out, they were allowed on our campus and they got banned pretty quickly because of us. But we would do Airsoft Wars. And then basketball, like when we would have the 2-on-2 tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
For like 2 months on either side of it, we were like playing basketball every single night. And we played like
intramural sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was big.
Yeah. So I kind of missed that. I mean, missed that like that brotherhood, sisterhood, like that brotherhood that we had where you knew the guys, like you just yell at your hall, like, hey, we're playing. They'd be like, everybody would come out and you just start playing.
Or you'd go to, you know, go to meals with like the same group of people all the time.
Yep. Or even if it wasn't the same group of people, like there was always, you could always just find somebody. But, but it was that thing. You could sit down and just everybody was just like, yep, on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, no, there was no differences. There was no wives. There was no nothing. Like it was just like 100% like, it's about the boys and about sports. Or it's about the boys and about whatever activity that you're doing. You know? So I kind of miss that. So for those of you that didn't go to college or haven't gone to college yet, something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's still the same.
I would think so. I don't know.
Because I think when you get a bunch of boys around each other, that's just the stuff they do. Or the prank wars.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of miss the prank wars, too. Kind of.
Yeah.
There was some mutiny that used to happen. But yeah, with all that being said, any inspirational or thought-provoking statements to leave us with?
Let's think. No, let's see. Well, I was just thinking, Yuli got married last week, so congratulations to him. Paige and Alyssa got married yesterday.
Okay.
I believe. That was a big deal. I think a lot of people went to, quite a few people went to that.
Very nice.
So yeah, congratulations to them. Nothing else too thought-provoking.
All right. Mine is, don't let your environment determine your attitude.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I ran into that too much this year from myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to realize that, you know, like, it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I'm the only one that's in control of my thoughts and my you know, emotions, my, all of that. So it's so much easier just to be me and whatever's happening around me. Yeah. Screw it. Who cares? You know?
Don't ultimately let you be you.
Exactly. Yeah. Or well, maybe you be you.
Yeah.
And let other people be them.
Right.
So there you go. So don't let your environment influence your behavior.
That's good.
With that being said, as JP so eloquently put it, deuces in the toilet and peace out. Keep us up, partner.